Welcome to the Hay Matters podcast, brought to you by Local Ag and Feed Central. This is your go-to source for all things hay-related in Australia. I'm your host, John Paul Driver. In today's episode, we're joined again by Matt Eckert. This is our second go-around, so welcome back.
G'day, John. Yeah, it's nice to be back.
Take me through your support networks. What does that look like for you personally or for the farm business?
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind in these tough times, John, is family. Like, family is just number one. I mean, we're a family-owned and run business. We employ family people. So our farm's grown a lot over the last 20-odd years, and it's not just my family anymore relying on us making good decisions. It's, you know, there's 10 families relying on us making good decisions now. My team guys, they have their own families, all of that. So you've got to rely on those people closest to you is number one. And then obviously, you know, good relationship with your bank.
You better hope your bank is playing the long game too.
You better hope they're playing the long game. But also you want to make sure you've built a relationship over the times when times have been good with your bank, because you're asking them to maybe bend the rules slightly for you now. And you just got to be careful about that reputation with your bank. And I mean, we have a beautiful reputation with our bank, and it works very well, and they're backing us 100%. So your bank, your accountants, your succession planners, all those type of people, your agronomists, you know, and your team, like, you just got to watch the guys that are coming along for the ride with you too. Like, you know, it's tough that they're worried about their jobs. That's the last thing I'd ever want to do, is lay anybody off. And so we do our absolute best to keep everything running and try and keep going at as big a capacity as we can to keep everyone, you know, employed and ensure them that their jobs are safe. We'll make something work. Very fortunate, John, that we got a huge network now, and our farm is known. Like, sometimes it blows my mind how far we're known, actually, and the opportunities that come from there. It's just phenomenal. And at times of need like this, you can call on those types of networks that you've built over the years, and they can help you through it. So a bit of off-farm income and things like that. And it's certainly a big help when times get tough.
Now, you just mentioned off-farm income, and I distinctly remember you talking about three trucks that you took to WA, and it was a kilometer to walk around and check the tires.
Probably very hard to fathom for yourself, John, but
we don't have trucks like that.
We're talking road trains out to 53 meters, so you get out your door and you walk around the truck, you've just walked 100 meters. And if you walk around two of the trucks, well, yeah, you've actually walked a fair way. You know, it blows my mind, actually, John, to think about the things we do. Like, I mean, I don't know what it looks like from the outside, but you know, there's so much going on at this place. It blows my mind, actually. And just, I never thought we'd be doing things like that. And I mean, we did that big job up there, and we were up in Broome in WA. We did that in the hardest season we'd had in 2022. We had shit going everywhere, you know. It was a big season, and yet we knuckled down and did that job. And I'm so glad we did, because now times are tough. You know, it's good to know that those jobs, we did them when we were struggling, and now those jobs are coming back to us. Now we're struggling. So it's a great way to sort of keep the wheels turning, keeps us viable, it keeps people employed. It gives us a bit of diversity. Diversity is king. I mean, we talk about variable soils. With variable soils comes variable business, you know, variable profits and losses. So diversity is just king, and anything that we can possibly do, we're more than happy to give a go. And been a huge help to us over the last 10 years, sort of thing. So, I mean, I never thought we'd be running trucks to Broome. I mean, we've been up in Cairns a few times up there. We just got back from Townsville doing another job up there. Hay's moving, so we, you know, got a truck on the way up to New South Wales at the moment, up top of New South Wales. They're about to bring a load of hay back again. Just you know, just keeps on giving sort of thing. It's, yeah, it's good.
That concept of managing through variability is the secret to success, right?
Variability, definitely. People say to me, like, oh, you're so lucky you get such good opportunities. You know, you're so lucky to have that. And I always come back to the thing, John, like, you know, old man always said, you know, ability must meet the opportunities. When, you know, a business with ability is a business that will make money. Ability will bring opportunity. You don't have to go and look for it sometimes. The opportunities, if you have the ability, the opportunities just come. And it's one of those things that me and Tim have prided ourselves in. We've always built a lot of ability into our business, ability to do whatever it might be, whether it's from trucking to building roads to fabrication in the workshop, fixing things, whatever it may be. Building ability into your business is just key. Ability brings opportunities, and opportunities obviously are what grow businesses. You've got to have opportunities, and you've got to take those opportunities when they come. And we've been very fortunate to have a lot of them come our way. It's been really good.
So you've been working with Feed Central and Local Ag for a while now?
They have been fantastic. Now, Tim does a very good job up there. And we met Feed Central back in the millennial drought when they were struggling up there. And I remember Tim flew down to see us, and I don't even know how he come across us. You'd have to ask Tim that. But anyway, he turned up here at our workshop, and I don't know, things just clicked, and we had hay, he wanted hay, the ducks aligned, we had trucks, he needed trucks, and we got business underway, and we've just grown a business relationship over those, whatever it may be, 10 years or so, and it's gone from a business relationship now to a bit of a personal relationship. They took us along to the AFIA conference and in Adelaide, and we spent some time with him and his team and thoroughly enjoyed it, learned a huge amount of stuff, and just brought it home, started to implement it, implemented change within our business, and got into the hay and fodder game more professionally, I guess you could say. One thing we focused on big out of that outcome was things like quality, bale weights, storage, the whole chain, I guess you could say. And we've done a lot of work through them, and their systems that they've built, their apps and that, are absolutely fantastic. And I just can't recommend anyone enough to get on them. They are good. So, and then the new local ag system, obviously feel it's struggling a little bit in our local area, trying to get people onto it. But look, it's when it gets going, it's going to be fantastic. And I just can't wait. I'm just so disappointed. I just got nothing to sell through it, to be perfectly honest with you. He's just got it up and running, and we got nothing to put on there.
So, you will. It'll come back again.
It'll change. Wheel keeps turning. And, yeah, they've just been fantastic people to work with. So Stephen Page, he keeps calling in here and saying g'day on his trips. And, yeah, we just love him calling in. It's great. They come down the other day, actually, and we took him up for a fly, and said, Tim, we'll get you a look around. And so we got an airstrip here on the farm, so we flew out of there and took them for a fly around, took the whole team around. And I think they thoroughly enjoyed it. It was good to show them, you know, the lakes and, you know, where the end of the river where it opens up into the ocean there and things like that. And, no, it's one of those relationships, John, it's a business relationship that's turned into a personal one, and I'm very grateful to know them.
Oh, wonderful. As we've been talking, there's a wheat producing region not far from me, maybe 2 hours drive, where their annual rainfall is 150 mils. And they're growing, we can do this on the fly. I've got professional at the conversion here. 40 bushel to the acre, which is not going to mean a whole lot to you. That would be somewhere close to 2,100 kilos to the hectare.
2.1 ton. Yeah. That's a pretty reasonable result. I mean, in our growing season this year, John, if I was picking numbers off the top of my head, I don't have them all in front of me, but I know we had about 100 and 140 mil of rain during the growing season, and our wheat was doing between 1.8 and 2 ton to the hectare.
Yeah.
So I guess you could say that's quite comparable.
I should mention that almost all of this rain, oh, it's a completely different production season. It's winter wheat, and we get real winters.
Winter wheat, yep.
So they're planting in September. The wheat goes dormant in November through maybe March, and then comes out of dormancy and matures in maybe July. So we have wheat in the ground almost all year round.
Yes.
It's a very different production system.
Very different. We're sort of sowing in, I guess you can say, May. May, we'll be sowing in June this year, but we'll be reaping by sort of November, December.
Yeah, I was wondering if you're using any deep furrow planting, seeding.
No.
Have you seen that at all?
Yeah, we just can't get into our country deep enough, John. Too many rocks, limestone. Yeah, just can't rip into it. That's the problem.
It's fairly sandy where they're doing that, and they're putting that seed 8-10 inches down.
Yes.
It's amazing.
It's, yeah, it's unreal. I'm not going to reap in 10 inches down from here, that's for sure. You're going to have a huge amount of rock picking to do, that's for sure.
Oh, geez, so, yeah. I just didn't know if they're... I'm just trying to think, what words could I say to make your life better right now? And I mean, there are folks that we call it dusting in, where we seed into a layer of fluff and dust, and there's no moisture for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, and the seed just lays there until the weather is right.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. And that's essentially dry seeding over here is the same. It's just, and then when it does rain, John, you've got your whole farm seeded on that one day, which is remarkable. But yeah, I mean, there's just, like I say, normally 100% confidence in dry seeding, especially where you've soil ameliorated, anywhere you've clay spread, all our heavier loams country, 100% dry seeding is the answer. Get to our non-wetting sands, just got to be careful. You don't want to be seeding and then having that non-wetting sand drifting in onto your furrow. That can, then your seed can be sitting under 40 mil of non-wetting sand. That's not necessarily the perfect outcome. So
right.
That's why we've just waited a little bit on a bit of our program. So just hedging our bets a little bit, probably more after a reliable outcome than, if you know what I mean.
So
just trying to eliminate a little bit of risk.
Yep, absolutely. So, well, do you have any advice you want to share with other farmers who may be struggling?
I don't know. I mean, tough times are good in a way. Like, tough times when you implement change, you know, when things are going your way and, you know, everything, the ducks are all lining up, and like the last few years, you just couldn't go wrong, John. It's, you know, it's raining and things are going your way. Don't necessarily stop to think. You don't implement change because you're so invested in the time, I guess. You're busy. These times come along. It's what makes us change. It's what makes us implement new processes, look at things like efficiencies and things like that, alternative ways to make money if there's any other opportunities out there. Yeah, we've just been thinking outside the box, John, for the last, you know, 18 months really. And, you know, boys around here got into things like feedlot and bit of contracting here and there. I mean, we've been away in our trucks a fair bit, you know, doing a lot of stuff in the workshop, just looking at different avenues and things like that that you just don't necessarily look at why things are all going well. Like, yeah, there's a lot of positives to come out of it, that's for sure, if you can just push through the tough times. And don't get me wrong, they are certainly challenging. They challenge the best of us, that's for sure. And I often feel sorry for, like, my mum's still very actively involved in it, and she just cops it, mate. She's just a bouncing ball for everyone. And, you know, I bounce problems off of her, Tim bounces problems off of her, Dad bounces his problems, and she just keeps absorbing those. And she's pretty remarkable at doing it, to be honest with you. And, you know, you just got to keep those type of people very close in times like this. And I'm just grateful to be involved in a family business where we have those, resources. And, you know, I'm very close with my brother, and most people say brothers don't work together, but I'd be lost without my brother, John, and we do everything together. And yeah, like I say, I just cherish every day that I've got him. So we just very lucky to be in the situation we're in. You know, my papa's no longer with us. So I often think sometimes, you know, like, what would he be saying to me? And I don't know, he was always used to say, oh, you know, you boys will see it one day. Oh, you know, shit, I reckon we've had tough times, Papa, you know. No, you haven't seen tough times. You'll see him. And maybe we've just seen him, John, and it's made us grow as people. A lot of respect for the people that have done it. My dad, my papa, all the people that have owned our country before we got here. Like, you're going to take your hat off to them. They pushed through all these tough times, you know, picking rocks and clearing country, and they were bloody hard times, John. And we have a couple of years that we can't make a bit of money, and we're sort of, you know, pretty worried about it and stuff, and rightfully so. But, you know, I remember Papa saying, you know, when you come out here clearing land, John, like, Jesus, mate, he said, I come out here and dove the bloody blade in and things just broke, things just smashed, it just cost me money. I couldn't make anything. You couldn't drive on the country. You put sheep on there and then the sheep industry just crashed, the wool job crashed. And it just went years without making money. And then he bought his Caterpillar D8 dozer, and he bought that big blade plow, which I think you've seen when you were here.
Yeah.
And he bought that, and he got into it, and he said it was the best thing he ever did, because he gave him ability, John. He could clear the land. The trees weren't too big. He all of a sudden had the upper hand, and he got into it, and I'm just so grateful he did, because, you know, in I think it was 1983 that the band come in where we had to stop clearing, and he'd sort of nearly finished everything by then. And, you know, and so some of them photos I sent you through there, John, of those rocks and that, like, that paddock there of all that limestone, we sowed that 3 days ago, and that is where our oat and hay is growing. That will be our oat. We're going to run mold conditioners over that country. That's what it was when he started. And you think, Jesus, like, that would have been tough going, really tough going. So, but they did it, and all the people before us, you know, like the Bagshaws and the Hills and all of that, those people that were here back in the sort of, you know, 70s and 80s, they put a lot of backbreaking work into it. And I often wonder whether that's why maybe they're not here today, that it was that hard of work. They just got to a point where they were out. I don't know, but they certainly put a lot of work in for us to have the country that we have today, and, you know, pretty indebted to them, really.
I understand the concept. This was where I live and grew up here. It's all timber country, big trees. And in order to make farm ground, they cut the trees down and hauled them to the rivers and floated the trees down the rivers to the sawmills. And then they took sticks of dynamite and blew the stumps out of the ground. And then they took rippers and they had to get all of the roots out of the ground. And I'm talking trees that are a meter across. So big timber and lots of roots. So, you know, a lot of this country was cleared maybe 1910 to 1930. I'll still find roots with my rippers.
Yeah, we certainly do too. That's for sure.
Yep. I have a lot of appreciation for the same efforts, although maybe not quite to the scale that you guys are at.
Yeah, and, you know, generational farming too, you know, like, it's, you know, I'm very lucky to be a fifth generation farmer, but it doesn't come without its challenges as well. And, I mean, anyone can grow a business, you know, but building legacies, John, that's when things get really hard, and working out all that succession, you know, and handing things down, old guys letting go, young guys implementing new technology, all of that stuff there, John. It's a
universal, you know, hardships. That is, yeah, agriculture the world over.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I'm very fortunate that my mum and dad are very open about things like succession planning and things like that. Get along very well with my brother. A lot of families don't, and it really is disappointing when you see family farms not work out, because they just such a big part of our rural communities and stuff. And you know, just advise anybody that's in a family situation, you know, it's just make sure you communicate with the people around you, talk about what you want to do, where you want to go, have some strategies, you know, sort of, yeah, have your strategy plan sort of worked out, all that sort of stuff, John, you just can't talk enough about it, really. Mm-hmm. It just boils down to communication. That's why everything falls apart in the end. It's just purely communication. That's all it is. So, yeah, and I mean, what else do you want to know, John?
Oh, I think we've covered a good portion of everything. No, this has been absolutely one. Did you have anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, I was going to talk about, you know, one of the things I think we struggled with over the last, you know, moving into this drought is come out of 2022, massive year, mate, massive year, huge, just rained. Things were going well, John, and, you know, we had good crops. We were cutting loose and hay. We had seed everywhere, and I think that's what's made maybe the drought even a little bit harder to digest. There was no slow movement into the drought. It was just, you know, the rain stopped on about the 10th of January, mate, and it just didn't rain again. We went from full throttle to bang, and that was probably a bit hard to digest. We had probably the most animals we've ever had on the place, and, you know, everything was looking good and everything's rosy, and you're belting along, and the next thing, bang, this hits you in the face, like, you know, and you think, Jesus Christ, what have I done wrong? And we had such a big year. We had some hugely unfortunate breakdowns, really costly ones that certainly
this is me laughing in sympathy, thinking to my breakdowns, yes.
Yeah, we had some major ones that sort of hurt the hip pocket, and they come across because you're going hard, you're doing a lot of work, your machines are doing huge amounts of hours, and things just break when you use them. And then we had a few unfortunate things happen. You know, we tipped a truck over, and then you know, a few big breakdowns, and then we had another truck hit on the Swanport Bridge. One of our B-doubles was hit there by another truck. And, we had a fire come through. We were just trying to start seeding in 2024, and we had two fires come through. And, you know, not that they cost us a huge amount, but it was just applied pressure, I guess, when it maybe wasn't needed. And things like that, you think, shit, you know, like, when's it going to end? And the very hard... Well, I personally found them hard to digest at the time, and I look back at it now and I go, geez, just nothing, mate. It was all it was a fire, and all it was, you know, tipped a truck over. And, you know, we were very fortunate. We never had anyone injured or anything like that. Still got our drivers. And, yeah, just as a young guy, it was, you know, just testing times, you know, putting that on top of the dry and, you know, trying to mop up from 2022 and start 2024, and moving into a drought, not knowing where we were sort of really going, not knowing what was around the corner. It was just, you know, it's a different time to what I've been used to, but I've learned so much out of it. My brother Tim's learned so much as well, and yeah, we'll be better for it, I think, John.
All right. Wonderful to have you back again, Matt, and I think we're even going to do a third episode here, so more to come.
Thank you very much, John. It's an absolute privilege. So, no, thank you.
Wonderful. This podcast is proudly presented by Feed Central and Local Ag. Stay tuned for upcoming episodes.